Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is May 18th with Lag BaOmer, and we're on page 452. We're up to Perek Chafav, chapter 26, and we're ready to talk about the structure of the Mishkan itself. We've already covered the Aron, the Ark, the Kaporas, which is the covering of the Ark. We talked about the Shulchan, the table, and the Menorah. And now we have the structure. And the structure is made up of two major parts. One is the skeleton, which is the part that has strength to it, which is the krushim, which is the boards. And the second are the curtains that go over the boards, which form the roof, and also they form the, I guess, the adornment for the krushim, for the boards. So the Torah discusses the curtains first. It discusses the material first, and then afterwards we'll move to the krushim, to the boards. So tonight we'll cover those, the material that goes over the boards. The Mishkan, now the word Mishkan, which generally is translated as sanctuary, tabernacle, however you're going to call it, but the Mishkan here is being used to mean the bottom layer of material that's going to go over the boards. There are going to be three layers of material, and this is the lowest layer. So the Mishkan, you should make Eser Yirios, 10, how do they translate it?
Curtains.
Okay, curtains. 10 curtains. And these curtains are made up of the following materials. Shesh Mashazar, which is linen that's been spun. How do they say it? They say spun or, yeah, well, twisted, okay. Uscheles V'argamon V'solas Shani, and then three types of wool. Wool that's dyed blue, wool that's dyed purple, and wool that's dyed red. So you have the each strand that you use to weave the curtains with has four different materials, three different types of wool and one type of linen. Although we know that wool and linen, when you mix them together, creates shatnez, which you're not allowed to wear, but no one's wearing this. This is going as a curtain over the Mishkan. We will find shatnez will be used in the construction of the clothing of the Kohanim, but that's a separate discussion. For tonight, we don't need to deal with that because this is not being worn. So you have those of the Gemara that says that each of the materials in each strand that was used for the weaving, each type of material had six threads. So each strand was made up of 24 threads. And you had six threads of linen, six threads of wool dyed with techeles, with blue, six threads of wool dyed purple, and six threads of wool dyed red. For a total of 24 threads in each strand, in each string. Kruvim, when they would weave it, they would make designs of kruvim, of cherubs. Maase choshev, with the type of handiwork was called choshev, which is a woven design. Taase osam, you should make them. Now, Rashi explains, and I am by no means an expert in this, but Rashi explains that the difference between a woven curtain and a sewn curtain is that the sewn curtain, whatever design you put on one side, you'll see on the other side as well. So you'll see on one side, if you make whatever design you want, the other side will be a mirror image because you'll see the same thing just on the other side. Whereas a woven design, which we have over here, the two sides do not necessarily have the same image. Now, I'm not so sure that's really the difference between weaving and sewing. I think it's the difference between the thickness that you make, whatever material you're making. But whatever it is, over here, the design on either side was a different design. It didn't have to, you didn't see the other side of the same design that was on one side. You could put different designs on each side. The design here was a cherub design. Now, these curtains were each the following sizes. Orech hayiriyah ha'achas, the length of each of the curtains, shmoneh ve'esrim ba'amah, were 28 amos. That's a very long curtain. 28 amos is somewhere between 42 and 56 feet.
High or wide?
Long.
Long.
Long. That's how long each one was, 28 amos. The rochav, and its width was arba bo'amah, was 4 amos, between 6 and 8 feet. Hagiriyah ha'achas, for each of the curtains. Mida achas, the same measurement, l'chol hagiriyos, for all of the curtains. It hasn't told us how many curtains to make. It just said that you'll make curtains. They should be 28 by 4 amos.
It says 10 curtains.
Oh, thank you. I missed the word. Yeah, you got it. Thank you. You're right. 10. It has said as much. Okay, fine. Thank you. So 10 curtains. Each one is 28 amos by 4 amos. Okay, good. Thank you. I missed that. Chamesh hayiriyos tiyana chavros isha lachosa. 5 curtains will be attached one to the other. It's literally translated as each woman to her friend, but it's referring to each curtain in a feminine. So 5 of them will be attached to each other. And the other 5 will be attached to each other. So you're going to sew them together or attach them together along their length so that the widths will now be combined. So you have the long strip of a curtain, lie that against another long strip of curtain, and you're going to sew together the 2 long strips along their lengths. You're going to sew them or put or affix them. So that means you now have 28, still, the length is 28, and you have 5 times 4, so you have 28 by 20. So you, once you've sewn them together, you now have a 28 by 20, I guess it's already called a carpet. It's just a very large, except it's not going to go on the floor, a very large curtain, 28 amos by 20 amos. Then, you should make wool dyed with blue, lulos. A lul is a loop. Is that what it says here? Yeah, okay. You should make these blue wool loops, al sfas hayiriyah ha'echas, on the edge of one of the curtains, mikatsa bachovares, on the edge of the group. So you now have 5 curtains that have been sewn together to form a 28 by 20 large curtain. And on one end of that, along its length, you should put loops. And you should do the same thing on the other edge of the curtains, hakitzona, on the outer one, b'machberes hashenis, in the other group of curtains. So each group of curtains, you now have 4, 5, excuse me, but we'll use my fingers as an example. So you have these curtains which are lined up against each other. They're affixed together. They're supposed to be the same length. And then on the outer edge, you're going to affix these loops over here. And the same thing with the other ones. You're going to affix loops over here. Those loops are going to bring them 2 together, as we'll see in a moment. 50 loops you should make on one of the set of curtains. And 50 loops you should make on the edge of the curtain on the other group. Makbilos halulaos, the loops should correspond one to the other. So the 50 loops now line up with the 50 loops on the other group. Then you should make 50 golden clasps, and you should connect the curtains, each one to its friend, using the clasps. Now the Mishkan, this set of curtains, will be one gigantic set, which is now 28 by 40. because you've now connected the 28 by 20 with the other 28 by 20 along their length, so you now have 28 by 40. That's what you have for the lowest level of curtains, which are going to go over the Mishkan. We'll describe exactly how that works in a moment, but that's what you have. That's what you have. Should we put it on the board just to make sure everybody has it straight? It is questionable whether the picture is going to make it any better for you, but so you've got a curtain. The original one is 28 by 4. Okay? 28 long and 4 wide. You're going to connect that to four other ones. There's a total of 5. These are exactly the same length and width as the picture so clearly connotes. Okay, those are exactly the same. It's sometimes an optical illusion, they look a little different, but they really are exactly the same. They're 28 long and 4 wide. So you end up with 28 on this end here, 28, and this, they're each 4, so you end up with 20. Again, you can see it's drawn to scale. Okay, perfect. Now you're going to do the same thing with another group right over here. Same thing. Also, I mean, I don't know why. With my, well, they said they look almost exactly identical. You can't even tell the difference between this one and that one. So 28 also by 20. Once you've connected them together, then you're going to put 50 loops all along here and here. These loops are going to correspond one to the other. They're going to line up with each other perfectly all the way down. Then you're going to take golden clasps. The golden clasps are going to connect each loop with the corresponding loop. So then you're going to bring both these sets together, so you'll have a total from here to here will now be 40 once you put them all together. That's what's being described. So it ends up being 28 by 40.
This is, what do you call it?
What's that?
I can't remember the word. Okay, well, I'll get you there.
Yes?
The cherubs all along, like cherub.
I don't know. I think so. I think it sounds like it's a pattern of Kruven. That's what it sounds like, but I don't know for sure.
Does it say anything about painting it on? Or
no. Masei Choshen.
You know, sometimes when you do something, you do a pre-pencil thing.
Oh, that I don't know. You're asking practically how they end up making sure it was done well. I don't know. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech
Haolam Shehakol Nehyah
Lahu. Amen. Yeah.
When the gold loops of one side match up with the gold loops of the other side, even if the hook is clasping them, touching, isn't there a gap between?
Yes, there's going to be a slight gap. You're pointing out that it's actually slightly longer than 40, because you're going to have the loops are not gold. The loops are fabric. They're wool, and then those two loops are going to be held together by a golden clasp. But still, even if you make them very, very tight, you would think that there's going to be at least a little bit of give, which means you're going to have a slightly longer than 40. But in the measurements that the Gemara and Rashi speak about over here, that little bit seems to be ignored, and I imagine because it's negligible compared to the total width that you end up, the total length that you end up having. But it's a good point. Now we're going to have another layer. We're going to describe another layer now, and we're going to do almost the same thing with the second layer as we did with the first layer. But instead of 5 and 5, they're going to be 5 and 6. They're going to be almost the same, but instead of 5 and 5, it's going to be 5 connected to 6. And instead of being 28 by 4, they're going to be 30 by 4. So you're going to end up with another layer, which is going to be slightly longer than the first layer, and slightly wider, because you're going to end up with 30 instead of 28, which starts off as the length but becomes the width, because that becomes the shorter side. And instead of having the total length of 40, you're going to have 44, because you're going to have 11 of these four amma wide strips connected together. The material is now going to be something else entirely. It's going to be goat's hair. So the Torah continues, Pasuk Zion, verse 7. V'asisa giriyos izim, you should make curtains of, now literally this means goats, but the intent is goat's hair. Lo'ohel ala mishkan, as a tent over the mishkan, as a covering over the mishkan. Mishkan here meaning the lower fabric. Now we have an upper fabric. Ashtei esrei yiriyos, 11 curtains tasel, some you shall make them. Orech ha-yiriyo ha-achas, the length of each curtain is shloshim bo'amos, 30 amos. Verochav, and its width is arba bo'amos, also 4 amos, just like the first ones. Ha-yiriyo ha-achas, for each of the curtains. Midah-achas, identical measurements, l'ashtei esrei yiriyos, for the 11 curtains. V'chibartayas chamesh ha-yiriyos levod, you shall connect 5 of those 11 curtains together into one group, that shesh hayiriyos levad, and 6 of the curtains into their own individual group, the chafalta es hayiriyah hashishis, and you should double over the 6th curtain el mul panei ha'ohel, towards the face of the front of the oil of the tent. Now that line, that last line of doubling over the 6th curtain towards the front of the oil of the Mishkan, that is not understandable without a description of how they lay down these curtains. And we'll get to that in a moment. So when we get to that, we'll come back to this to explain what this last half of this pasuk of this verse means. You shall make 50 loops on the edge of one of the curtains, hakitzona, on the outer end of the connected group, and another 50 loops on the edge of the curtain on the other group, the second group. You shall make 50, this time it's not gold, but it is copper clasps. You shall bring the clasps into the loops. You shall connect the oil, you shall connect the tent, it shall be one. Which of the two layers is the more expensive, beautiful layer?
The first, the
lower one.
Yeah.
Okay, so you see that first of all the clasps are gold on the lower one and the upper one is copper. And how else do you see it?
The different colors.
Okay.
The
different colors you have, it's a multicolored thing.
Yeah, and the kruvim that are...
And the kruvim are on it. I mean, it's a more beautiful tapestry. And it's wool and linen. Here it's goat's hair. Goat's hair, I mean, I imagine sheep wool is a nicer thing than goat's hair. And you have, like you said, the colors, they're dyed, the kruvim. So it's a nicer, the lower one is a nicer tapestry than the higher one. The serach ha'odeif biriyosa ohel, and the, how do they translate that? And the extra
overhang,
okay, of the curtains of the tent, the extra one, because you now have an extra, you had only 10 of the lower level connected to each other, now you have 11. Chatzi ha-yiryahu defes, half of the extra one, tisrach, will hang ala chorei ha-mishkan, on the back of the Mishkan. Again, that line will be more understandable once we describe how they hung the tapestry. And I'll explain that in a moment. We'll come back to this verse as well. I'm going to read the next one, even though the next one also will require more explanation. And the Amma on this side and the Amma on that side of the extra length, Ba'orech Yiriyos Ohel, on the length of the curtains of the Ohel, Yesaruach will hang over Al Tzidei HaMishkan, on the sides of the Mishkan, Mizeh Mizeh, on this side and on this side, B'chazah, so to cover it. Again, we'll get back to that. We'll get back to what that means.
Don't say wool and linen isn't supposed to be
here. Only if you're wearing it. And then finally, Yudalit 14, there's yet another layer. V'yasisa michsela ohel, you shall make a covering for the ohel. The ohel had a covering. The ohel was a covering. The covering of the ohel was the goat's hair that covered the wool and linen. Now you make a covering for that as well. And what's this third covering made out of? Oros elim ma'adamim. They should be ram's hide, which is dyed red. Red ram's hide. So now it's no longer I guess you can call it a fabric. It's leather. It's now a hide. It's not woven. It's not sewn. It's an actual hide. Umichsei oros tichashim el mala, and a covering of the hide of tichashim above it. Now, we mentioned before that the tichashim, the tachash, was a type of animal which was not available to people until the time of the Mishkan. In the time of the Mishkan, Hashem made it available to Moshe, and it was an animal with an exceptionally beautiful hide. It had many colors on its hide. And it became available to Moshe to be used for the Mishkan. There is a debate whether this verse, which refers to a covering made out of the hides of rams, which were dyed red, and a covering made out of the hides of the tachash animal, whether this were two different coverings, which means it's a third and fourth layer, or whether they were one covering, which was half made out of the ram's hide and half made out of the tachash hide. And there was only a third covering over the other two. So that's a debate in the Gemara, whether it was a third and fourth, or just a third. Yes? Any question? No. Yeah?
Do we know what kind of dye, when they dyed it red, what did they use to dye the red?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it came from plants, but I don't know. Yeah, not from beetles.
That's what?
Not from beetles. Now, the way that these tapestries were placed on the Mishkan, there is the general idea everybody agrees to. There's slight debate over the exact way that they hung, and it's going to be significant to us. The skeleton of the Mishkan, which was going to be made up of the boards, which is the next discussion, which is for the next class, those were only walls. The boards only formed walls. That's it. There was no roof. Now the tapestry became the roof and also hung down over the walls. So if you picture a rectangular structure, which is what the Mishkan was, it was a rectangular structure, and the rectangular structure was made up of walls. So now you took these curtains and you hung them over. Similar to... Oh, is there a picture of this?
463.
But that's not going to give you...
Okay, it might give you an idea.
Yeah, okay, well...
What the walls look like.
Okay. So that's going to give you what the walls look like. But similar, imagine hanging a tablecloth over a table. Take a tablecloth, you have a rectangular table, you put the tablecloth over the table, it hangs down on all sides. So you're going to cover the top and the sides with the tablecloth. Here you're going to do the same thing, except that rather than a table which has a roof but no walls, the Mishkan had walls but no roof. And you hung this tapestry, if you hang a tablecloth over a box that has walls and no roof, it'll sag into the middle of the box. But because these tapestries were thick and they had some rigidity to them, they did not sag. And also, they hung over the sides so significantly, their weight held them from sagging inside of the into the Mishkan. So, if you looking from a bird's eye view of the Mishkan, you would see the boards of the Mishkan, which would look something like this. Looking down on top of the Mishkan. That's what it looked like. The front doesn't really count. They had some boards here as well, but let's ignore that for a moment. Now you're going to take this tapestry the tapestry was both longer. The tapestry, if you just put it down without falling over the sides, you just lay it down over the top. The tapestry was both longer. It would have gone, let's say, that far. But and it was also, you know, it was much bigger than the Mishkan. In fact, I'm gonna do it like that. Okay. It was much larger than the Mishkan. So that after you put it over, you would cover the roof, and also you'd have plenty of curtain to spare, which would hang down on the sides and on the back, and even a little bit in the front. That's what would happen when you put it over the top. Now, what were the measurements that we're talking about? The Mishkan was, as we will see when we get to the discussion of the boards, was 30 amos by 10 amos. That means the cavity of the Mishkan. If you were standing inside the Mishkan and had no furniture in the way, then you could measure 30 amos by 10 amos from wall to wall and from front to back. 30 amos the length, 10 amos the width. So if you took these curtains and you hung them over the top and over the back, so what you would have is the following. You hung them, you took the curtain, I'm going to use a table as an example, I think it's a little easier to do it this way. You would take those curtains, let's take the bottom one, which was 28 by 4, which became 28 by 20, which became 28 by 40 once you put it all together.
Mm-hmm.
So the 28 mm-hmm. would now be the wall, the roof, and the wall.
Mm-hmm.
How tall was the Mishkan? 10 amos tall.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to use up 10 amos to cover the roof.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to use up, 10 amos covers the roof out of 28. 10 amos covers the roof.
Mm-hmm.
You've left 18 left. You've got 9 amos on either side left. Those 9 amos are going to hang over the sides. Now, you also have to take into account the thickness of the boards. And here we have a machlokas in the Gemara. One opinion is that the boards were each an amma thick. That means that you've got 10 amos of width to cover the actual cavity of the Mishkan, then an additional amma to cover the board on this side, an additional amma to cover the board on that side. That's already, you used up 12 of your 28 amos. That would be 16.
Mm-hmm.
Divided in half is 8. So you've got 8 hanging on this way and 8 hanging down that way, on either side. The entire height of the Mishkan was 10 amos, which means that this bottom layer did not go all the way to the ground. It only went within, 2 amos of the ground on either side. So again, you've got 10 covering the cavity, 1 on each side covering the boards, that's 12, and then 8 hanging on this side and 8 hanging on that side is a total of 28, leaving 2 amos exposed on the bottom for the boards. There's another opinion in the Gemara that the boards actually were tapered, and they came to, not to actually a point, but almost to a point at the top. In which case, there was no length on the top, no width on the top of the boards to cover. So you had 10 amos of the cavity of the Mishkan, just a tiny little bit of board to cover on either side. So according to that opinion, you actually had nearly 18 amos left. Instead of 16, you had 18 amos left to go down the sides, which you had 9 on one side, 9 on the other side, leaving 1 amma of board at the bottom, which remained uncovered.
Mm-hmm.
That's the, we'll call that the width, because you're going up the side, across the top, and down the other side. What about the length of the Mishkan? Well, you've got 40 amos to deal with. You've got 40 amos to deal with of curtain. The length of the Mishkan was 30 amos. That was the cavity of the Mishkan. So, again, we're going to have two opinions. You've got 30 amos, so you get to the back of the Mishkan. At the back of the Mishkan, you have boards. So according to the opinion that the board was an amma thick, you've got to eat up another amma worth of curtain to cover the top of that of the boards in the back of the Mishkan. That's 31, leaving 9 amos to hang down the back of the Mishkan. So according to that opinion, you've got the entire top is covered, you've got 8 amos hanging over on either side, and you've got 9 amos hanging over the back. That's according to that opinion. If you say that the boards were tapered at the top, so then at the back of the Mishkan, there was no board, it was only negligible to speak of, to cover. So you've got 30 amos of length covering the cavity of the Mishkan, and then 10 amos remaining to hang down the back of the Mishkan all the way to the floor. So according to this opinion, the sides were covered up to 9 amos, meaning 1 amma uncovered on either side. The back was completely covered down to the floor. And as with a tablecloth, or if you're thinking about making a bed, same thing, at the corners you would have a bunch of material that didn't, it was just kind of folded over. It didn't, it just, you know, because you've got a rectangle that now hangs down, like when you wrap a present, you've got to deal with that corner over there. That's what you had hanging down, like you do with a, like you do when you have a tablecloth or a bed or whatever it is. So it would just hang over the sides. Okay. That's the lower level curtain. Now you have the upper level curtain. Now the upper level curtain is longer and wider. On the sides, instead of only 28 amos, it's 30 amos. So you're going to get an extra amma on either side. So again, depending on the two opinions, according to the first opinion, it hung down, the lower material hung down 8 amos on either side. So the higher material, the upper material, hung down 9 amos on either side. You got an extra amma. So it's going down further to the ground. Not quite to the ground, because the ground was 10 amos down. So it went within an amma of the ground. According to the other opinion, the lower level material went 9 amos down, and then the upper level material took an extra amma, went all the way to the ground. Fine. What about the length? So the length, the lower level was 40 amos, this one is 44 amos. So you've got an extra 4 amos. What are you going to do with an extra 4 amos? That's a lot of material which doesn't seem necessary. At most, to cover everything, you would need 30, and according to the opinion of the board is another amma, it's 31, and then 10 amos to the ground is 41, but you've got 3 more amos. So you got 44 over here. So you got a lot of material, extra material. So here, this is what those psukim that I told you we'll figure out as we go along, and we'll come back to those psukim now and look at them. So here, the extra material, some of it hung in the front, and some of it hung in the back. Half of the extra material hung in the front, 2 amos hung in the front. Half of the extra material hung in the back, 2 amos hung in the back. So what does that mean? How does that shake out? So think about it. According to the opinion that the board was an amma thick, so we said that the lower level material was 10 amos to cover the roof, the cavity, 1 amma for the board, that's 31, and there was a remaining 9 amos almost to the ground. There was an extra amma. So now the higher level of material hung over in the front 2 amos down, so that when you were walking in the front of the Mishkan, there was a little lip hanging down from the upper material, hung down 2 amos down. It was a 10 amma high doorway, which is very high. That's about 15 to 20 feet high. So you didn't bang your head or anything, but it was like a little bit hanging down. And then in the back, you had an extra 2 amos. 1 amma would hit the ground, and the other amma would be lying on the ground. It would actually be like a train. Mm-hmm. Like a train of a gown. Hanging down, and then another amma this way. If you say the board in the back was tapered, and there was no amma to cover, which means the lower level came all the way down to the ground, that means the upper level hit the ground, and then 2 amos jutted out as a train of a gown. And the Gemara draws that analogy. The Gemara says it was like a woman walking in the marketplace with her dress, gown, whatever you want to call it, with a little bit of a train trailing behind her as she walked. That's what the Mishkan was meant to appear like. That the back of the Mishkan, it not only hit the ground, according to all opinions, but actually there was a little bit of a train. Whereas on the sides, it either, depending on the two opinions, it either touched the ground or it was an amba above the ground, but it didn't trail. But in the back it trailed. So just to make sure we understand the psukim, let's look at it inside so we can read it, and then we'll talk about more detail about this and the symbolisms. So going back to pasuk test verse 9, after it says you should connect five of the curtains and six of the curtains into separate groups, then it says you should double over the sixth curtain el mul pnei ha'ohel, towards the front of the ohel, which means half of that sixth curtain is going to hang down over the front of the Mishkan. That's what that means. Two of the four amos, two of the extra material is four amos, two of it is going to hang over the front of the Mishkan. Yeah.
Do the hooks and loops go this way, or do they go back?
They go across this way. Okay. Now, look now again at Pasuk Yud Beis verse 12. Again, referring to this extra material, the Serach HaOdef B'Riyos HaOhel, and the additional, how does it translate? The extra overhang of the curtains of the tent, Chatzi HaYiriyah HaOdefes, half of the extra curtain, because half of it hung over in the front. Where's the other half go? Tisrach Alachorei HaMishkan, will hang over the back of the tabernacle, the back of the Mishkan, which means it's now going to be on the floor as a train. And then what about the sides? That's the next pasuk. V'ha'amah mizeh ba'odef, and amah on this side and amah on that side of the extra, now it's the width, but the length of the curtains, where the lower one was 28, now it's 30. So you've got an extra amah on either side. Ba'orech yirios ohel, and the length of the curtains of the ohel, yasaruach will hang al tzidei ha-mishkan, on the sides of the mishkan, mizeh u-mizeh, on this side or on that side, lichasoso, to cover it. And just one last thing, what about the hides that went on top of the mishkan? The hides were a simple 30 by 10. The hides did not hang over the sides. The hides only covered the very top of the Mishkan. It's possible that if you say that the boards were an amma thick, maybe they were 31 by 12. The Rashi says they were 30 by 10. I think it's the Rashi says. They only covered the very top of the Mishkan. They did not hang over the sides. So there, it doesn't affect this business of hanging over and covering things up. Yeah.
About two very, very long and
thin
curtains?
Yes, extremely.
So how were they picked up? How were they...
By a lot of people.
Because
and rolled.
This was done 10 times
because
Moshe first, every day? Every day for the next few days?
Moshe did it for 7 days. Yeah, that was miraculous that Moshe was able to do it.
So was it according to the Torah? Moshe did it himself?
Yeah.
Just himself?
Yeah, but that was miraculous. That we'll get to, Mitzvah Hashem.
So it must have been very, very heavy.
Yeah, extremely heavy. Very heavy.
Hide and wool.
And just the size of it. They were huge. Yeah. Heavy and also unwieldy.
Yeah.
Right.
So do they talk about folding it over?
Well,
folding, you know, to get rid... I mean, even if you folded it, it must have been tremendously heavy.
Yeah. However it is, I don't know. I don't know how they did it.
He built the whole thing by himself, Moshe?
No. He put it up. He put it up during the Miluim. He put it up by himself. We're going to get to that later. I don't want to get distracted by that now. Okay. Now, the Gemara tells us also that in addition to the analogy to the woman walking in the market with the trail going behind her, the Mishkan, the Gemara also tells us that the krasim, which are the clasps, appeared like stars in the sky. When you looked up and you saw those golden clasps, which were holding together the blue loops, against the backdrop of the multicolored lowest tapestry, they looked like stars in the sky. There were no windows in the Mishkan. The Mishkan was 30 by 10 amos. There were no windows. What lit up the Mishkan?
The menorah?
It can't be the menorah. That was the whole reason why the lights were angled in, to show that we didn't need the light. So the light in the Mishkan was a miracle. It was light in the Mishkan. You could see. But the ceiling of the Mishkan were these tapestries, and those clasps were meant to look like stars. The Gemara tells us also that, as we mentioned, the lower level material was the nicer, more beautiful, more expensive tapestry. Who saw that tapestry? Okay, could you see it if you were outside of the Mishkan?
No,
it was completely covered by the second layer. The second layer extended beyond the first layer on all sides. In the front, that the lower level didn't hang over the front at all. The second layer hung over two amos. On the sides, the second layer hung down on either side an extra amma, covering the lower level, the lower layer. And in the back, the lower layer did not trail behind the Mishkan, but the upper layer did trail behind the Mishkan, which means it covered it completely. You could not see, except when they dismantled the Mishkan, you could not see the lower layer tapestry unless you were physically inside the Mishkan. You had to actually be in there to see it. And who could go in there? Only the Kohanim. So most people could not see that tapestry while the Mishkan was standing. It was only when it was taken apart, actually when it was originally constructed, then when it was taken apart, that's when they could see it. But otherwise they could not. The Gemara tells us, this teaches us, Melamed, a derech eretz. It teaches us a proper way to behave. Sheyehei adam chas al hayofe. A person should, chas literally means to have pity. But it means a person should care for something that is beautiful. A person should not allow something that is beautiful to become messed up, destroyed, etc. If there is something that's beautiful, it should be preserved and protected. And therefore, the lower layer, which although was very, very beautiful, was covered. So you'll say, then what's the point of that lower layer? If it is always covered, what's the point? If I have a beautiful item, you say I should protect it. But if I protect it by locking it in a safe and no one ever sees it, then what's the point of owning it? What's the point of that lower layer? So the point, therefore, could not have been to display it to people. So then what's the point of it?
Does it tell us a lesson about sneezes?
It does. We're going to talk about that in a moment.
Well, what did you say?
She said, does it teach us a lesson about tzniyus, about modesty? But who was it for?
Well, the Shekhinah.
Okay. It was an honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Shekhinah, to Hashem's divine presence. That's what it was. It was a beautiful tapestry, which was meant to adorn the tabernacle, which was the physical manifestation of where God's presence would be, which is a kavod, it's an honor to God. Are we going to see it? No. Are people? No. That doesn't matter. It's still beautiful because we're building something for God. So when you're building something for God, you make it the most beautiful way you possibly can. But it's still covered up because it is not there for everybody to see. It's there to be an honor to God. and one should be careful to cover something that is beautiful. Which brings us to the lesson of tzniut, of modesty. And that modesty, the whole point of modesty, is to cover that which is beautiful. And it's not meant to be something which is on display. We talk about it with clothing, but we know that modesty, tzniut, does not only apply to clothing, it applies to anything that a person has, whether it is a physical attribute, which could be something about them, their own selves, or it could be something about what they, about items that they own, and it can also be something more. It could be something more of a talent that they have, but the sneers is meant to be that we cover up that which is beautiful, that which is special, that which is nice, and we cover it up only to be used in the proper setting. Here, the proper setting was the inside of the Mishkan. That was the proper setting. And the applications of tzniut are, depending on what thing we're talking about, to be used at the proper time. So, for example, we know that because we are in Golus, because we are in exile, one is not supposed to put on their table all of their beautiful utensils. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to ever put out on your table all of your beautiful silver and crystal and whatever else that you own. Even if you have a lot of it, you should not put them all on your table, except for one time. When is that?
Shabbat.
Sorry?
Shabbat?
No.
Sukkos.
Not Sukkos.
Pesach.
No. On Pesach. At the Seder. At the Seder, that is the only time that we are supposed to put out all of our finery. And the reason for it is because at Pesach we're supposed to show that we are free. And Hashem took us out of Egypt. So we put out all of our finery. So the rest of the year we don't do it. So tzniut dictates we keep it away. But then, when the proper time to use it comes around, then we use it. And that analogy is true for all areas of tzniut, of modesty. The train behind the Mishkan, which was meant to conjure up the image of a woman walking outside with a train behind her, that train also is meant to be an element of tzniut, because it's an extra covering that not only covers to the ground, but even beyond, as an extra special covering. And it's meant to give us that image of the Mishkan. You'll recall this is the second analogy to a woman that we've had in the Mishkan. What about the stars in the sky, that the krusim, that the clasps were meant to symbolize? How do we understand that?
How many are actually seen?
None. But you can only see it if you're inside.
But you can, but both layers have, or two,
yeah,
layers
but
have them.
The two layers have, not the top. The top layer is covered, right. Also.
But how many end up?
There were 50.
But there were 50 going all the way around.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I don't know how many you would see. And it's true, you would see some of them on the outside layer, that's true. The second, the higher layer, but only the copper ones. You wouldn't see the gold ones, right? And on the ones that look like stars are the gold ones inside the Mishkan. Inside the Mishkan is where it's going to be beautiful, and looking up and seeing those golden clasps were meant to conjure up a beautiful image, perhaps of the heavens, perhaps of the stars. That's a nice explanation. Yeah.
Could be like jewelry.
Okay, you're saying like jewelry, like a woman wearing jewelry. Okay, that's a nice explanation as well. Okay, good. Now, yeah.
Abraham was told to walk outside and look at the stars.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're saying that perhaps it's bringing us back to all the way back to Abraham, where it all started, when he was told to count the stars. Okay. Now, we have here also, with a few minutes we have remaining, we have reference to the tachash, to this special animal that had this multicolored hide, which was used at the top of the Mishkan. And as we said, it was only Moshe Rabbeinu who had this animal. The animal became available to Moshe. I don't mean to say it was created then, but only Moshe had access to it. And since then, no one has had access to it. I don't know if now it's extinct. I don't know if it's in hiding. Whatever it is, but we don't have access to this animal. It was there for the Mishkan. The Gemara tells us that this animal was similar to another animal that was found once in creation. And that is, the Gemara tells us that Adam HaRishon, when he sinned and was then banished from Gan Eden, so it got dark. And when it got dark at night, when it got dark, Adam HaRishon said, God forbid, I see that now because of my sin, light has been taken away from the world. And I am now going to live forever in darkness. When the morning came and the sun rose, Adam realized that it is just the way of the world that the sun sets, the sun rises. It gets dark, it gets light. In tribute to the fact that there is always light, that light does not get banished forever, that the sun always rises again, in tribute to that, to thank Hashem for that, Adam HaRishon brought a korban. He brought a sacrifice. What did he use for the sacrifice? He brought the very first bull that had been created by God Himself, rather than one that was born from a mother and father bull, a father bull and a mother cow. He took the bull that had been created by God Himself, and He offered that as a sacrifice. The Gemara cites a verse in Tehillim, which would have been nice to go through, except that we don't have the time for it now. But that verse refers to a bull that its horn preceded its feet. How could a bull's horn precede its feet? When a bull is born, it doesn't have a horn yet. A horn grows later. How does a horn precede its feet? So when the animals were created from the dust of the earth, they are created head first. And they are created as adults. Just like Adam was created as an adult, so were the animals created as adults. And therefore, as it came out of the ground, the head was created first with its horn, and then afterwards the rest of the body and its feet. But the Gemara says there was a very unique aspect to this bull, which the Tachash shared. Something very unique. I've already alluded to it in the way I described it.
You said horn.
That's
not
correct.
Horns.
It had one horn in the middle of its head. The unicorn that is spoken of as a myth, I can't tell you what a unicorn really is, but there was a bull that had one horn in the middle of its head, and that was the original bull that was created by God Himself, had only one horn. It's only the, I guess we'll call it the descendants of bulls that have two horns. The Tachash animal here also had only one horn. Not two, one horn in the middle of its head. And that animal, there were many of them because one hide wouldn't have been enough. They were made into the hides for the top of the Mishkan. What is the significance of one horn rather than two horns? Isn't that a funny thing? It's an interesting thing, certainly a curiosity. But what would be so special about one horn? Meaning, it appears that one horn is an advantage over two. Since the original bull created by God Himself had one horn, it seems that that's the pristine state. And since the Tachash, which is this special animal, which was only available for use to build the Mishkan, also had only one horn, it appears that one is better than two. Why? So I want you to think about this. I know we're a little bit over time, and I apologize for this, but I want you to consider this. The human body, we are made of dualities. We have two eyes, two ears, even the nose, which is one, but there's two nostrils, two arms, two legs. Everything is two. Hashem is echad. Mm-hmm. Hashem is one. Completely and totally one. We have two. There are only certain parts of the body, I'm not talking about internal organs, I'm talking about external, where there's only one. The most obvious is the mouth. There's only one mouth. And then, that which is used for both reproduction and digestion, there's only one. The rest of the body is two. But that which is used for speech, that which is used for reproduction, and that which is used for digestion, there's only one. Everything else is two. I suppose you could also argue, although you don't see the brain, that which is used for thinking.
It's two halves, though.
It's two halves.
I mean,
okay.
It's two very symmetrical halves.
Okay. Okay. You mean even internally? Yes. Okay. But let's focus here. Good. Thank you. But let's focus on what we can see from the externals of the body. A person is not God, and therefore a person is not going to be one. A person is going to be made up of parts. Hashem is not only that he's not only that he's only one God, he is one. He doesn't have parts. Mm-hmm. He's one uniform whole. A person is not one uniform whole. We have different parts to us that look different, that act different, that do different things. Mm-hmm. We have different parts to us. Even emotionally we have different parts to us, certainly physically. The parts of us that are one are those parts that mimic HaKadosh Baruch Hu the most. You see, we were created in the image of God. What does it mean to be in the image of God? What is the most significant thing that we do that is God-like?
Think.
We think.
Speak.
Speak. We speak. That's what distinguishes us from the animals. We are not animals because we speak. Intelligent speech. That is why we have one mouth. Because in the area of speech, we are godlike, or we should be godlike. Of course, it depends how we use our mouth. But that's what we're meant to be. The mouth is also used for digestion, for food. And then, of course, the genitalia, you have also digestion and reproduction. In reproduction, we are also, in the greatest way possible for a human being, godlike, because we are creating. Whereas Hashem created something from nothing, He gave us the ability to create the next generation. That is also in the image of God. It is doing what God did, which is to create. Even digestion, even there, which is a little bit more difficult to fit into this paradigm, but even digestion, what you are doing there is you are perpetuating the life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're doing. Breathing and eating is how we perpetuate our lives. And that is perpetuating the creation that God made. The most basic way of perpetuating it is through our breathing and through our eating. If you think about it, even digestion itself, you know, today we have the concept of industrial waste, nuclear waste. These things destroy the planet. Human waste does not destroy the planet. Human waste actually aids the planet. Because human waste, I'm talking about digestive waste, is actually a fertilizer. It actually helps in the planet continuing to grow and to thrive. It's not something which is useless. It's not something which becomes a problem. So those are the areas of one in our bodies, where our hands, our feet, they're not godlike, and therefore they are two. The horn on the head of a bull or of an animal, whatever these animals are, what does the horn represent? So we said fighting. Well, if it represents fighting, it's not going to be godlike. There's going to be two of them. But what does the horn represent? When we talk about horns, we Jews, a horn is a shofar. What do you do with a shofar? You blow it. To do what? To coronate God. That's what we do on Rosh Hashanah, is we blow the horn. We blow the shofar. That's what a shofar is. A shofar is the breath that God blew into us to give us life. We blow it out to coronate God. We use that breath to proclaim the oneness of Hashem Himself. Therefore, the most pristine horn is that in the form of one. Prior to the sin of Adam HaRishon, the bull had one horn, because the human being who would take the horn and blow it to coronate Hashem was on a level where he had the ability to fully proclaim Hashem as one. With the sin, so we were diminished. And as a result, we don't have that same ability. There is too much of the Yetzer Hara, of the evil inclination, which is confusing us. Our own selves. We're not fully subservient to Hashem. And the one goes to two horns. With the Mishkan, where we were bringing together all of Klal Yisrael and all the forces of the world to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu as one, so there, the animal that is provided to create the special covering of the Mishkan, that animal which only appears for the use for the Mishkan, has only one horn. To hearken back to the time before the sin of Adam HaRishon, where the bull had one horn, where we could proclaim the oneness of Hashem fully. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.